Bibles, please, for our second reading, which is the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 18, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Yet a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and spare and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for the lack of 5? And he said, If I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, Peradventure, there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure, there shall be 30 found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Oh, this is an amazing chapter. It's amazing. You remember how we talked earlier in John chapter 1 that before Christ was incarnate, he was with his people? You see, this is one of those examples. This is one of those times where we see the Lord Jesus Christ communing with his friend, Abraham. You see the friendship. The friendship is played out extremely obviously to us here in this passage. First of all, Abraham is waiting in the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He could have been inside being fanned. He could have been inside where it was more comfortable, but no. Abraham is out in that godly ancient Near Eastern fashion looking to be hospitable. He's looking for a way to be hospitable to someone. And so here he is then. His friends come to meet him, and he gives them a meal. Secondly, he is brought into the confidence of one particular of those three. He is brought into the confidence as a man brings his friend into his confidences, saying, I will surely return this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Third, Abraham is brought into the confidences of his friend as he draws near and says, Oh, let not my Lord be angry, but please, hear me just this once. Will you destroy the city for the sake of 50? Okay, how about again then? Not just once, but again, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10? Will you hear me? And all throughout, his friend communes with him, assuring the heart of the patriarch. And finally, did you note Moses' inspired commentary on that? That the Lord left off communing with his friend, Abraham. It is no wonder why Abraham is called the friend of God. You remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples? He said, I'm not calling you servants anymore. I'm calling you friends. Because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. But I'm going to bring you into my confidence. In Psalm 25, the Lord declares, The secret of the Lord is with them that love him, and he will show them his covenant. Brothers and sisters, Abraham begins this chapter behaving himself as a servant, but the Lord will have none of that. He will show him all that he will do, and so bringing him into his friendship and communion. You want the synopsis of the chapter? That's it. But now there are several particulars of the chapter that are mysterious and wonderful to believers. The first portion here, remember that when Abraham is standing in the tent door looking to be hospitable, we see that the household of Abraham is a well-oiled machine. It's ready for hospitality, isn't it? And so what happens? Here come the three. Abraham says what to them? It is for this reason that you are to come to your servant this day. Notice, he says servant here. Later, he is treated as a friend. Recognizing then the providence of God, he says, this is why God has brought you to me today, so that I could be of service to you. He had in mind to be an obedient servant to God, being hospitable as a servant would. And yet, while he was serving, he attained angels and Yahweh himself unawares, and is brought then, finally, into the friendship of God. So then, the New Testament is very clear. Do not be slack to be hospitable, because some, Peter tells us, by doing so, have entertained angels unawares. Right? All right, so then secondly, where is Sarah thy wife? They ask. Where is Sarah thy wife? And Abraham says, well, she's in the tent, which is behind them. So Abraham is facing the tent. They're facing him. The tent is behind them all. And Sarah is eavesdropping in the tent door. And one of these characters that has come to Abraham, who now is making himself even more known than before, later he is identified as Yahweh himself, says to Abraham, I'm going to return in about a year at the time of life, and Sarah will have a son. And Sarah says, you remember in chapter 17, what did Abraham say when the Lord told him he would have a son through his wife Sarah? He went, and so Sarah does as well. But notice that there is a little bit of fear in Sarah, right? That faith and fear come into conflict in Sarah, because when the angel says, no, you did laugh, she said, no, I didn't, for fear. She was afraid. And brothers and sisters, sometimes we pretend as if we had not sinned when we do, because we're afraid. What is it that we're afraid of? What was Sarah afraid of? Well, perhaps she was afraid of what I heard, you know, what some believe is the great American hero, John Wayne, say near his death when he died of lung cancer in the late 70s. He said, well, perhaps when I get there, I'll find God is not as merciful as I've been told. She was afraid that perhaps Yahweh, whom she overheard speaking, was not as merciful as she has heard of her husband Abraham. Perhaps she was afraid of ridicule. Perhaps she was afraid she had some vestiges of pride and she did not want to be seen as faithless, but faithful instead. In any case, we know that sometimes we find ourselves in the sandals of Sarah, don't we? That we either do not trust God, do not believe Him to be as merciful as He has proclaimed Himself to be. Sometimes we find ourselves creating Him in our own image, and we impute our lack of forgiveness to Him. Psalm 32 is what we read in our family worship this morning. David there says what? What we heard of Nathanael this morning, that he was an Israelite in whom is no guile. David says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin, in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old because I refused to confess my sin. You see what David is saying there? That those who belong to Yahweh, they have no guile, no deceit with regard to themselves. They know themselves as sinners, freely confessing unto God, whom they trust to forgive them. So notice then, we get down to about verse 13, and the Lord, that is Yahweh, the personage that Abraham is speaking to, says, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for Yahweh, for me? It's a great statement, isn't it? And so we find in this mysterious passage who Abraham truly is speaking to. He's speaking to the Lord Christ. All right, so then they rise up together. Abraham takes them on their way. Hospitably, he's taking them on the way to Sodom as if they needed guidance. And yet, when they reach a particular parting place, two of the men go down and one stays with Abraham because he's not yet done speaking and comforting his friend. And he says, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" And of course, the answer to that question is implied in the text. The answer is no. I will not hide from him what I'm going to do. And then there is that wonderfully covenantal statement about the necessity, parents, of commanding our children after us to keep the ways of the Lord. Did you see what God said about Abraham here? The character of this friend of God, that he will command his children and his family after him so that they will learn to keep the ways of the Lord, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham everything that he's promised him. There is means along with the promises of God. The Lord tells us to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to raise them covenantally, to raise them as those who belong to Jesus Christ, because we do bear them unto Him. The Lord tells us to command them. The Lord tells us to be firm with them. The Lord tells us to instruct them in His holy ways, to teach them of His holy covenant, to require of them what the Lord requires of them. These things cannot be gainsaid and are God's means of bringing forth His covenantal promise to His people, to be a God to them and to their seed after them. And so, parents, take from this passage renewed vigor in your parenting. Renewed vigor in commanding your children. I know the society is telling you that they are little individuals all themselves and have rights of their own. Listen, they have a right. They do have a right. They have a right to hear the Word of God. They have a right to be instructed from the Word of God. They have a right, because they belong to Christ, to know that they belong to Christ. They have a right to come to church. They have a right to hear His commandments. And they have a right to learn to obey. Brothers and sisters, whose children are they? They belong to Christ. Yes, they have rights, but not the rights that the world proclaims that they have. They don't have a right to correct their parents. They don't have a right to live as autonomous individuals. They don't have a right to follow on in their sin. There is no rights when it comes to sinning against God. There are no rights. Thank you. So, brothers and sisters, these are the things that God presses to Abraham. And so then He tells him what His intent is, that He's going to go down and He's going to look over Sodom and Gomorrah. Of course, this is a great act of condescension for this interaction with the patriarch. He already knows. He already knows what his determination is. He already knows everything that's going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. This is the Lord's quote-unquote visitation. And so He comes to visit, and it's not to sit down to have tea. And Abraham, for his part, remembers Lot and his family, and his heart yearns for his brother-in-law. His nephew. Took me a while to get there, but I got there. His heart yearns for his nephew. And so he asks the Lord several questions about how many people it takes to save a wicked city. Let's talk about that for just a moment. What great forbearance God has that He will spare a city of sinners for 50, no 45, no 40, no 30, no 20, no 10 sinners. Sorry, 10 righteous in the midst of a wicked, wicked city. Well, when we look around us, we recognize that's exactly the business that the Lord is in, is it not? And you've heard me say this before, I'll say it again here because it is pertinent. And when he cannot find 10, before he destroys the city, he will send his angels to deliver those who are righteous and yet under 10 in number. We're going to see in the next chapter that although Lot was righteous, that he was jaded, and yet we will also find many things in Lot that parallel Abraham's behavior in this chapter. And so we have then Abraham presenting to us what it means to pray for one another, to pray with importunity one for another, to pray and intercede one for another. Do you think Abraham knew that the men of Sodom were wicked sinners? Yes, he did. Do you think he knew that his nephew Lot had become jaded by them? Probably so. Do you think his heart yearned for his nephew? Absolutely so. And so what was Abraham driven to do? To pray. To pray for his nephew, especially when the judgment of God was about to fall. This is a good example to us. And finally then, we see, interestingly, that there is no real answer. That Abraham, in drawing near to his friend, God himself, has obtained his purpose. He knows in the 50, in the 45, in the 40, in the 30, in the 20, and in the 10, that God is merciful, and that's all he wanted. He doesn't leave Lot's particular condition, he does not require of God to hear something about Lot's particular condition. He trusts that to God. He does not pursue, okay, but now you know where I'm going with all this, God. What about Lot? He doesn't say that. He leaves Lot in the hands of the merciful God. He has obtained his purpose. And later on in chapter 19, we're going to see Abraham content to watch the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah from his view on the hills above and the mountains round about, rather than down in the plain, and trusting that God has kept his nephew safe. Not rushing down there like he did before to rescue him, but remaining secure in his faith in his friend who has drawn him near, revealing to him his secrets. Don't we desire a relationship with God like that? Then seek him. Seek him as Abraham sought him. Bring your friends and nephews and cousins and brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and children to him in prayer. Go to him with your concerns. Flee to him in your closets and call upon him and know that he is merciful and draw near. Thus ends the reading of Genesis chapter 18. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of